This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And big business and big government have not always been big enemies. What's an example of when they weren't? Well, if you look a little bit more than 100 years ago, Theodore Roosevelt, who was noted to be a trust buster, actually found it necessary to come to terms with big business and to work together facing a national crisis in 1902. There is a new book about it. It is called The Hour of Fate, and it was a fateful hour in shaping the America we know. We'll talk to the author of that book later this hour. We'll also take a look at the ongoing battle between the current president of the United States and a talk show host who he is accused of murder. It's an unusual situation, but it deserves, it seems to me, some serious attention. It does involve, of course, the most powerful man in the world. And the man who wants that job is named Biden. And he did an interview on CNN where he was talking about the importance of wearing a mask, which, of course, has become a very, very leading, prominent theme with Democrats. And he talked about leading by example, but he was not wearing a mask in this particular interview. He is practicing social distancing. Listen.
I think you got a president that's supposed to lead by example. And I watched... I watched the president yesterday wearing no mask, you know, and some making fun of the fact I wore a mask. The truth of the matter is that I think you're supposed to lead by example. And one of the things our governor has said, he wanted to keep social distancing, stay at home has been the order until June 1 of this year. And so I think it's important that, look, 100,000 deaths. 100,000 deaths, and at least 35,000 to 50,000 were avoidable, but for lack of attention and ego, I think. And you know me, I'm usually the last one to leave an event. I like interacting with people, but I hope to be able to do more, but we're going to do it by the numbers, because I think it's important, because this is not over.
You mentioned the mask. That you wore a mask yesterday. President Trump went to a Memorial Day service. He did not wear a mask. Not just some people making fun of you. He did. He did on Twitter. He retweeted a photo of you wearing it. He's trying to belittle you for wearing a mask, making it seem like it's a sign of weakness. Is it?
He's a fool. An absolute fool to talk that way.
Okay. I don't think that President Trump was trying to belittle Joe Biden because he's wearing a mask. I think he was trying to belittle him because, well, Joe Biden's running against him. And President Trump, who has been received so much criticism for not wearing a mask, of course, I think he would prefer that the election not be held on this basis. But frankly, if it comes to an election between wearing a mask and not wearing a mask at this stage in the pandemic, I am not all confident of the outcome. I would imagine most Americans would prefer to wear a mask as briefly and as rarely as possible. Joe Biden also has faced, universal criticism. I don't know anyone who has really defended his remark about if you can't choose between me and Trump, then you ain't black. He says to Charlemagne the God, the talk show host. It's an outrageous statement. And he acknowledged it on CNN. At the same time, he tried to excuse it. Listen.
The remark you made last week on the Breakfast Club, you said, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or for Trump, you ain't black.
Well,
now, you've since said that you shouldn't have been so cavalier. But during the same interview, you said the NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run, which isn't true. So my question for you is about what some supporters say they're worried about, which is that all of this could end up hurting the enthusiasm that you really need to win among black voters.
Well, first of all, it was a mistake, number one. And I was smiling when he asked me the question. I was, I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with him. He was being a wise guy, and I responded kind. I shouldn't have done that. It was a mistake. I have never taken the African-American community for granted. Never, never, never once. And I've had overwhelming support in my state and overwhelming support from the African-American community my whole career. But I have never taken it for granted. I work like the devil for it, and I have to earn it every single time. Nobody's vote should be taken for granted. That's what it conveyed, my response. And I've never done that. And if you notice, this all the time we're talking about in the primary. Well, Biden can't win because look what he did. He came in 99th or something in Iowa and New Hampshire. And I said, wait till we get to a representative state. I've had overwhelming support from the African-American community.
Okay, he has. It's true. But it is not true that the NAACP has endorsed him every time he's run. I don't believe the NAACP is allowed to make endorsements as a charitable organization. So it's an outrageous thing to say. It's also not true that Joe Biden, and he said this repeatedly, and he said it recently, that he was arrested in South Africa for trying to go see Nelson Mandela. It's not true. It didn't happen. He's making it up. And just generally, the instinct here by Vice President Biden, rather than owning the mistake, look, it's very smart that he apologized for it right away. He had to. But the idea that he says, well, I was being a wise guy with him because he was being a wise guy with me. Listen to the interview. It's not true. It's just not there. And who knows? Maybe it's the context. It's the setting of the interview. But I really do believe that it's the candidate himself. Does he sound energetic, decisive, vitalized by this challenge that he's facing? Does he feel up to this job? And the first job is actually standing up to and beating Donald Trump. Can you imagine a debate with the energy level that the vice president is, 78-year-old former vice president, is showing? He was asked also about the issue that we're going to get to, which is President Trump's completely unjustifiable and reprehensible attempts to smear Joe Scarborough with a murder charge that has no basis. And he was asked about social media taking action against the president. They haven't really. But Twitter, Jack Dorsey of Twitter, decided that on some of the president's tweets where he's sending out incorrect information about mail-in balloting, they'll put an advisor that says, look for further information. Here's the question and Joe Biden's answer.
Do you think social media companies like Twitter should take action against the president?
I'm of the view that social media companies have to reexamine whether or not, for example, if you put something out saying that that same outlandish thing that the president thinks a talk show host on a cable committed murder, I mean, you'd say there's no evidence for that at all. Zero.
So should Twitter do something?
Yes.
Should they take action?
No, I think they should. I think they should say when things are patently not true, they should say so.
Okay, more to the point, the widower of the woman who died in an accident, who Trump says was murdered, has asked Twitter to take it down. They won't. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show. Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies. Did you know precious metals had a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Michael Medved show, well, part of the problem confronting this issue of what should be up on Twitter, what should be have a special warning about it, has to do with the fact that the president has decided repeatedly, and it's not once, repeatedly, and he went back to it and went back to it and went back to it. He has been focused on the idea that Joe Scarborough committed murder. Now, aside from the fact that the young woman who worked in his office, she was not an intern. President Trump has said she's an intern. She was actually a full staff member in constituent services in his district office. He was in Washington. He was 800 miles away. When she had a heart malfunction, she fell, bumped her head, and seriously injured her head and died. Her late husband, she died when she was 28 years old, has been very outspoken, asking Twitter to remove the president's tweets saying that his late wife had an affair with Joe Scarborough and that Joe Scarborough murdered her. Now, there are all kinds of questions about this. This case made the front page of both the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. So both the nation's leading conservative outlet and the nation's leading establishment liberal outlet. But one of the problems is, what are you supposed to do? In other words, the tendency is to ignore it, but it's the president of the United States. Joe Scarborough himself, who's a former Republican congressman from Florida, as I think most people know, is now a very strong anti-Trump voice on MSNBC. He even recorded a supposedly comical song, country and western song, about Trump, very negative. Scarborough said the president was being cruel and callous by making an innocent family the collateral damage of his war against critics. Quote, "The widower of a woman who died 19 years ago begged the president of the United States to stop torturing him and his family." That's true, Mr. Carr Scarborough said in an interview with the New York Times. And yet he continues to torment the family and even went to Twitter accusing Lori of having an affair that resulted in her death. New York Times points out Mr. Scarborough was in Washington when Ms. Clausutis, who was 28, died at a district office in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. The police found no sign of foul play. And in a first, Twitter, late Tuesday, that's yesterday, attached get the facts warnings to two tweets in which Mr. Trump made false claims about voter fraud in California and directed readers to fact-checking notes, a remarkable declaration by one of the nation's leading technology companies that the president of the United States cannot be trusted. But Twitter did not take down the tweets about Mr. Scarborough despite the request from Mr. Clausutis. Mr. Clausutis is the widower of the woman who died. I'm asking you to intervene in this instance because the president of the United States has taken something that does not belong to him, the memory of my dead wife, wrote Mr. Clausutis, and perverted it for perceived political gain. Clausutis is 52. He wrote that in a letter to Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, chief executive. My wife deserves better, he wrote. In the letter, Mr. Clausutis said Mr. Trump has violated Twitter's terms of service by falsely suggesting that Mr. Scarborough killed Ms. Clausutis in 2001 when he was a Florida congressman and she was a constituent service staff member in one of his district offices. An ordinary user like me would be banished from the platform for such a tweet, and Mr. Clausutis wrote in the letter, which was published on Tuesday by Kara Swisher, who's a New York Times opinion writer. But I am only asking that these tweets be removed. Twitter said Mr. Trump's tweets, quote, may not gauge in the targeted harassment of someone or incite other people to do so. And it said that they had not determined yet that his tweets violated that with Clausutis. Instead, it offered words of sympathy. We are deeply sorry for the pain these statements and the attention they are driving are causing the family, said a spokesman for Twitter. Now, what is it the president tweeted exactly? While once friendly with Mr. Scarborough and with his fellow host and wife, Mika Brzezinski, Mr. Trump has long been upset by their on-air criticism and regularly attacks them. He raised Ms. Klasuta's death as far back as 2017, but in recent days he's repeatedly and relentlessly hammered it, even as Mr. Scarborough and Ms. Brzezinski have been criticizing his handling of the pandemic. Here's what Trump tweeted. Did he get away with murder? Some people think so. Keep digging. Use forensics. Geniuses. That's what the president urged his followers to do on Saturday. And then on Sunday, he tweeted, so a young marathon runner just happened to faint in his office, hit her head on his desk, and die? I would think there is a lot more to this story than that. An affair? What about the so-called investigator? Then on Tuesday, yesterday, he tweeted, in 2016, when Joe and his wacky future ex-wife, Mika, would endlessly interview me, I would always be thinking about whether or not Joe could have done such a horrible thing. Maybe or maybe not. But I find Joe to be a total nut job, and I know him well, far better than most. So many unanswered and obvious questions, but I won't bring them up now. Law enforcement eventually will? Question mark. Okay, I don't really understand what is to be gained by any of this. Does the president want to be driven off Twitter so he can start his own? I mean, he has 80 million followers. He, of course, could start his own very successful social media platform, and maybe he will after he leaves the presidency, and which I know is likely to be, if he wins re-election, is likely to be 5 years from now or 4.5 years from now. But the idea that this should go forward and be accepted in any way. Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, who I think has done quite a good job coming in, actually spoke out. She was asked in a press briefing if she had any evidence to back up the president's insinuations. Instead, the New York Times reports she essentially justified them by saying that Mr. Scarborough had been critical of Mr. Trump. If we want to start talking about false accusations, we have quite a few we can go through, she said. Mika accused the president of being responsible for 100,000 deaths in this country. That's incredibly irresponsible. They've dragged his family through the mud. Is that an effective answer? We will get to that, but first we will talk about a different president. His name was Theodore Roosevelt, and the way that he tamed one of the big business giants of his era. Coming up on the MedVed Show.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The historic launch of SpaceX Crew Dragon to the International Space Station was scrubbed Wednesday about 17 minutes before the scheduled launch due to inclement weather. The launch has been rescheduled for Saturday. Former NASA astronaut Tom Jones on why launching at the scheduled time is key.
Launches to the space station require split-second precision. You have to be right underneath the orbit of the space station with the fuel of the rocket as the critical factor. And so you can't steer left or right to chase the space station to one side of its plane or the other. So you've got to launch on time, or else you've got to recycle for another day. You have to wait for the space station's orbit to come back over.
Jones speaking there on Fox News, and Minneapolis's mayor wants the police officers responsible for a black man's death while in their custody arrested. The mayor requesting charges be filed against the four officers. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved show, there is so much about the coronavirus and the response to it and bringing back the economy that is going to require some kind of cooperation between business and government. And that just not only means the small businesses that everybody loves, but even the biggest businesses in the country. It's why I wanted to speak to the author of a new book. It is called The Hour of Fate. Theodore Roosevelt, J.P. Morgan, and the Battle to Transform American Capitalism. It's a fascinating book to read, and I think it's an important book to read. It's by Susan Burfield, who's an award-winning investigative reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek and Bloomberg News. Susan, if I can call you by your first name, what do you think is the most important lesson that business leaders could take from J.P. Morgan in his encounter with a boisterous activist new president who had just taken over in the White House, Theodore Roosevelt?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks so much for having me on. And that's a great question to get started. You know, Morgan was really at the peak of his power when Roosevelt became president. And I think initially he expected things to continue as they had with many of Roosevelt's predecessors between Washington and, you know, New York in particular, let's say Wall Street, but businesses in general. It's been pretty cooperative, cozy relationship. Morgan hoped and expected that's what would continue. Roosevelt led most people to believe that, you know, he would carry on those policies, and then kind of flipped And, you know, Morgan, to his credit, made some adjustments of his own, which we can talk about specifically during a big coal strike. But I think just more broadly, you know, he realized that times were changing. He, Morgan, was resistant, but he had people working for him who were friendly with Roosevelt, one of whom had gone to school with him, and they were the emissaries to Washington. And they were the ones who really brokered whatever kind of relationship there was between these two great characters, Roosevelt and Morgan.
Well, one of the things that happens in the story that you talk about is not only the Northern Securities case, which was probably the best publicized, most famous antitrust action in American history, using the Sherman Antitrust Act that had been on the books for a while to break up a proposed combination that Roosevelt saw as a potential monopoly. But what's striking here is there was a paralyzing coal strike, anthracite coal strike, that was a real hardship for literally millions of Americans. How did President Roosevelt get J.P. Morgan to cooperate in handling that strike?
It took a while. And, you know, as you mentioned, they were fighting in the courts, you know, over this big case. Morgan had created a railroad company that was second biggest company in the world. It was worth what would be the equivalent of $11 trillion now, a vast railroad network that would have dominated the Northwest. Roosevelt saw that as a threat in a lot of ways. But a few months after the government charged Morgan and the company with antitrust violations, a coal strike began in Pennsylvania. And Morgan, through his railroads, had a great deal of influence over the owners of the coal mines. But initially, Morgan wanted the coal owners themselves to deal with their employees, you know, the strikers, the miners. Roosevelt was also looking for a way to get involved and was initially uncertain about what he could do as president. Ultimately, Roosevelt decided that the problems and the concerns, the potential for social unrest as winter approached were so significant that he decided to try to mediate a settlement between the strikers and their union leader and the coal mine owners, brought them all to Washington, and thought he could use the force of his personality to do something that no president had ever tried to do or you know, really even wanted to do. Most presidents and the government generally, if there had been a big strike, would have come down you know, on the side of the owners and would have tried to restore order and did with soldiers. Roosevelt didn't want to do that. But he was unable to get very far with the mine owners. And, you know, that was a meeting in early October. There were lots of ominous signs from business running out of coal and, you know, threatening layoffs. There was a lot of concern about the poor who are unable to afford coal at the high prices. And, you know, Roosevelt was concerned about social unrest and disorder, and so was Morgan. And so Roosevelt had, I guess you would say, like the backup plan, the very last resort was a plan to take over the mines briefly, he hoped, and, you know, force a settlement that way. But before he wanted to do that, he gave one last try, and that was to ask Morgan to intervene himself and use his great influence and commanding personality to finally persuade the mine owners to come to some kind of agreement with the strikers. That's ultimately what happened.
And this unlikely partnership between these two guys, even though they had a lot in common, I mean, they both had sickly childhoods, they both were commanding personalities, they transcended their sickly childhoods. Last question for you, Susan, in the time we have available to us. Her book is called The Hour of Fate, Theodore Roosevelt, J.P. Morgan, and the Battle to Transform American Capitalism. I asked you about what business leaders could learn from Morgan. What could President Trump learn from Theodore Roosevelt, who was another activist president who loved being the center of attention?
Yes, he did. And right, and just like Trump, no doubt would have been very busy on Twitter. But I think, you know, what one thing that I really liked and drew me to the story initially was the fact that in the midst of this very big and almost personal conflict between these two, that they were able to cooperate for the national good. They set aside their differences temporarily. You know, the lawsuit proceeded, you know, ended up in the Supreme Court. Of course, the government won. But, you know, they saw that there was a crisis. They were worried about America and Americans. And they did figure out a way to work together. You know, even as you mentioned, they didn't like one another. They didn't communicate very often. After the strike was settled, Roosevelt sent a very heartfelt note of thanks and congratulations to Morgan, but I don't think he got a reply.
Well, the one reply, and it's touched on in The Hour of Fate, is in 1907, we had a terrible financial panic. And it was actually the ability of President Theodore Roosevelt, he was still president, to work with J.P. Morgan that actually prevented a real disaster for Wall Street and the country. It's all there in the new book, The Hour of Fate, Theodore Roosevelt, J.P. Morgan, and the Battle to Transform American Capitalism. I know a lot of people who have read my book, God's Hand on America, have been fascinated by the figure of Theodore Roosevelt. You'll find out more about him with Susan Burfield's book. It's posted on our website. When we come back, a question very relevant to the pandemic. Is marijuana actually much less dangerous than alcohol during a pandemic, or more so? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVet Show. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVet Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVet History Store by 50%. Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the MedVet Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch MedVet's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We covered the case of the dog walker versus the bird watcher in Central Park in New York. And because of the video, it really is a horrifying incident. And it introduced me to a new word, a slang word that I didn't know before. I'll admit it, I'm just not that hip. I didn't know what a Karen was. And Jeremy, did you know what a Karen was before yesterday? No, it's a loser, but a Karen specifically, K-A-R-E-N, is supposed to be a name that is applied to a white woman who has a sense of privilege and makes false accusations against a black guy. And that was certainly the case with Amy Cooper. And what's astonishing about this is she's now being investigated by the New York City Commission on Human Rights. And even the guy that she wanted to victimize, she didn't because he was too smart for her. He just taped her. He just taped her and had her calling the police and sounding hysterical and lying, saying that an African-American man is trying to attack me and my dog. Okay, it turns out she has paid a price for this. She lost her job. Believe it or not, she had a really important job. The estimates are she was earning like $300,000 a year. And she's a graduate of one of the leading business schools in the country from University of Chicago. And, I mean, it's just no excuse for being this kind of person. Now, the other thing is people started rummaging through her social media after she was exposed. And they found pictures of her dog having various injuries. So the animal rights people, she gave up her dog. She gave the dog after 2 years back to the rescue organization she had taken him from. And she says, I sincerely and humbly apologize to everyone, especially to that man, his family. That's what she told WNBC. It was unacceptable, and I humbly and fully apologize to everyone who's seen that video, everyone that's been offended, everyone who thinks of me in a lower light, and I understand why they do. Okay, now the New York Daily News is reporting she's going to be investigated by the Commission on Human Rights. And Christian Cooper, who's no relation, her name is Amy Cooper, the bird watcher, who, by the way, is a Harvard graduate, who used to work for Marvel Comics. I mean, he's a very interesting guy, incredibly bright guy. And he was saying he's just glad to bust her because his work as a bird watcher is regularly upset by people in that part of the park. In any event, the idea of an investigation by the Human Rights Commission is probably not appropriate. But what is appropriate is prosecutors investigating her for making a false report to police. It's against the law. You can't do it. And making an example of her, making sure that she gets prosecuted for calling police officers at a 911 call in New York City in the midst of a pandemic. She was wearing a mask, by the way. Calling the police, that deserves investigation. Not just the racial and racist aspects of her behavior. And speaking of questionable behavior, there is a terrific piece. We're going to send it out in our newsletter, which is going out on Friday. And we're going to, you can sign up for it for free at michaelmedved.com. It's a piece from the ucdavis.edu. They have a piece from that prestigious California University. The headline is cannabis safer than alcohol? The subheading, not from an economic or social point of view, UC Davis study finds. And they write in it, it's often said that marijuana is safer than alcohol in terms of fewer deaths from overdoses, traffic accidents, and healthcare costs. But a study by UC Davis and Duke University researchers has found that from a financial and social point of view, there's nothing safe about heavy cannabis use. Quote, people who smoke cannabis four or more days of the week over many years ended up in a lower social class than their parents, with lower paying, less skilled, and less prestigious jobs than those who were not regular cannabis smokers, said Magdalena Cerda, who's an epidemiologist at the UC Davis Violence Prevention Research Program. Quote, these regular and persistent users of cannabis also experienced more financial, work-related, and relationship difficulties, which worsened as the number of years of regular cannabis use progressed. The team found that regular cannabis users experienced downward social mobility. They experienced more financial problems, such as troubles with debt and cash flow, than those who did not report such persistent use. They also had more antisocial behaviors at work, such as stealing money or lying to get a job, and experienced more relationship problems, such as intimate partner violence and controlling abuse. Quote, listen to this. Regardless of how we looked at the relationship between regular cannabis use and economic and social problems, we got the same results. The results here, it seems to me, are staggering with regard to downward social class mobility, antisocial behaviors in the workplace, and relationship conflict. The researchers conclude, we find that cannabis dependence was worse than alcohol dependence in the case of financial difficulties, such as troubles with debt and cash flow and food insecurity. Dr. Cerda was quoted as saying, this is an important finding given the common conception that cannabis is safer than alcohol. Alcohol is still a bigger problem than cannabis because alcohol use is so much more prevalent than cannabis use. But as the legalization of cannabis increases across the world, the economic and social burden posed by regular cannabis use could increase as well. Now, there's also a report of a sobering reality that in the midst of the pandemic, many are drinking to excess. You've heard of quarantinis, of a walk-tini, which is when you're supposed to be walking, enjoying your walking during the pandemic, holding alcohol in a glass. Zoom happy hours, easy front door liquor delivery. The New York Times reports the boredom of staying home and the intense anxiety produced by the pandemic have given rise to Twitter jokes about drinking before noon as alcohol sales have spiked. But addiction experts say they are worried, of course they are, it could also trigger more serious drinking problems and even create new ones for people who have never struggled with alcohol dependence before. One of the reasons, obviously, that people are drinking, and this is something that Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College, just observed, because people are not driving, there's more reason for them to be drinking. But there's also something else that's fascinating. There are signs that people want alternatives to alcohol. While wine, beer, and spirits continue to sell at a much brisker pace than at this same time last year, sales of non-alcoholic beer were up 42% in the week ending May 2nd, compared with the same period in 2019, that according to Nielsen. Ritual, a company that specializes in alternatives to liquor, reported an 88% bump in sales in April. Does that reflect the fact that there are more people who are actually recognizing that there might be a problem with too much drinking during a pandemic? Addiction specialists say they are watching carefully to see how isolation will affect drinking and drug use in general. Historically, drinking and drug use rise when people experience wars, terrorist attacks, or natural disasters. We're experiencing a whole series of natural disasters that we haven't given much attention to because we're all paying attention to the pandemic. Is there some kind of biblical plague or series of plagues that is being visited on the United States? A locust attacks around the world. Here in this country, cicadas are coming up for 17 years, and there are billions of them. Hail falling the size of grapefruits in Texas. What is going on? We will confront that and much more. Why a higher death toll in Democratic congressional districts and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.